Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit go.vikingcapllc.com/best. That's go.vikingcapllc.com/best to get started today. Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHer are out to change that. InvestHerCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHerCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHerCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHer, HERCon.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket.
Are you ready for the best real estate investing advice ever? Join Joe Fairless and today's successful real estate professional as they share it with you. Let's go.
A quick word from our sponsor, The Door Devil. Homeowners spend hundreds on alarm systems each year, but rarely reinforce the weakest point on the home, the doors. Bad guys know this, and that's why kick-ins are so common. Simply adding Door Devils virtually eliminates the home security gap. Sleep better tonight. Reinforce your doors. Visit DoorDevil.com and enter Best Ever to get an exclusive 20% discount on your purchase. Hello, Best Ever listeners. Welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever Show. I'm Joe Fairless, and I'm here with today's guest, Nick Ruiz. Hi, Nick.
Joe, how are you, man?
Hey, doing well, and thanks for joining us. Excited to have you on the show and hear your personal story from having a whole lot in your portfolio to coming across adversity, mainly the apocalypse of 2008, and yes, coming out from that, rising up, and making things happen right now. A little bit about Nick before we get rocking. Prior to 2008, he was controlling over 70 buildings. He's based in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. His company's name is Alpha Home Flipping. 2008 happened. He's going to talk about that, lessons he learned. And then he's come out of that, and now he's focused on single-family homes. Specifically, he's wholesaling 8 to 10 places a year. He's rehabbing 8 to 10 places a year, and he owns 4 single-family homes free and clear in Milwaukee. So with that being said, Nick, can you give the Best Ever listeners a little bit more detail on your background and what you're focused on now?
Yes. Thank you, Joe. Beautiful intro. Thanks a lot. So he started when I was a teenager as an entrepreneur, even younger, but I won't go into all that, you know. So I'm making decent money as a teenager. I got involved in some marketing and network marketing businesses, learning sales, people skills, rapport building skills, et cetera. I knew that was going to be foundational for me as an entrepreneur, okay? Always wanted to be an entrepreneur from day one. Don't like working for people. So I'm 19 years old, working at a job, regular job, making, you know, $450 a week, nothing big, you know what I mean, getting by. And I'm like, I really got to put my stake in the ground in a major way. None of this nickel and dime money anymore, right? I see an infomercial, late night TV. It was like 1999 or 2000. No money down, real estate investing. So I didn't have any money. So right away, that kind of lit me up. Like, okay, I know people have created wealth with real estate. I don't have any money. let's do this. I put up my credit card, $250, order the booklets and DVDs and even, like, I think VHS tapes back then. Devoured the material, and a couple of the strategies seemed a little far-fetched, so I kind of got discouraged right away. I had entrepreneur disease, and anyone who knows what that is and many of you listening may have it, where, oh, there's a little road bump or a roadblock. All right, let's set that aside. What's the next opportunity that's going to be easier? That's entrepreneur disease, and I had it back then. So after a few months, I kind of stumbling around, like, wait a minute, I really got to do this real estate thing. I pulled the course back out, pick a couple strategies that I think would work, and the bottom line is I bought my first duplex, two units in one building, with no money down. Fixed it up, rented it out, and I rented the property and made $500 a month cash flow. And that's not getting rich, but I was 20 years old and I was making $500 a month passively. That's pretty beautiful, you know, if you think about it. So I immediately borrow against that property to do it again because I was hyped up, ready to go. So I bought a second duplex. Now I'm making $1,000 a month passively. That's pretty decent. I was 20 years old. I still had my full-time job income, but adding $1,000 a month was a great thing in my life. So I'm like, this real estate thing is for real. I could see myself doing this forever. You know, how do I grow bigger and bigger and bigger? So I ran out of borrowing ability. I was 20. Banks automatically, just with my age, weren't real cool with giving me too much more money. So that's, I was at my...
That's ageism, by the way. They should not do that.
Well, they shouldn't. They definitely shouldn't. But from a banker's standpoint...
Oh, I know. Yeah.
I kind of feel where they're coming from.
Oh, yeah. Experience matters. I hear you.
Yeah. But so, you know, it was what it was. I was like, okay. So I sold my first property to free up capital. I walked away with $22,000. Now, at my age, that was big money. Holy cow, $22,000. The $1,000 a month was one thing, but someone handing me a check for $22,000, that was unbelievable. So I immediately did that with the second property. So that, a year later, or less than a year, right around then, whatever, and walked away with $35,000. I was super, super hooked, okay? Those were large figures to me at that point, and I was like, I got to do this forever. Why would I work? You know, so the bottom line is, over the next few years into my mid-20s, I had over 65 buildings that I owned, flipped properties. I started wholesaling like crazy. Someone turned me on to that. And I had close to a $2 million net worth by the time I was in my mid-20s. $70,000 a month rental revenues, all kinds of stuff, employees, crews, the whole nine. It was a serious operation. I was in my mid-20s. I was feeling good, on top of the world, cocky, the whole nine, right? 2008, mortgage crisis. We all know what happened. And for those who don't, like Joe said, pretty much apocalypse in the financial world, literally. The last time it happened was the Great Depression. So crushed me. Perfect storm event. I mean, it crushed. The tenants couldn't pay the rents. The rent assistance I had, the numbers started squeezing on those. Banks were calling loans. I couldn't get any more money. Just all kinds of stuff shrunk me down and contracted everything. And eventually forced me into bankruptcy. Okay. Crazy experience. I was always the hotshot entrepreneur with all the money, the successful guy, the young guy doing it all. So that was such a devastating blow to me, not just financially, but mentally and emotionally. When you have all that money and you get it taken away, it's a lot more painful than not having it ever at all. Believe me, it was a complete nightmare. My personal life, my financial life, my business life, my family life, my emotional life, my mental life. It was just, I was bankrupt in all those areas. I mean, I'm talking like depressed. It's just, I was in a bad place, you know? I've been in personal development since I was a teenager. I've been listening to Tony Robbins since I was a teenager. You know, I know all the quote unquote steps you're supposed to take when you're faced with adversity. But no one, you never can be fully prepared for an adversity of this level. I call it a super experience, bankruptcy, because every time as you age, you go through more things and you gain experience. The nice thing about these things, and I'm thankful for the bankruptcy because it's the greatest thing that ever happened to me in my life, and it sounds nuts, but I call it a super experience because it packed maybe decades of wisdom and learning into a short period of time. And I learned so many things. My eyes opened in ways it never would have if I kept rising. And now I immediately, right after that, got on the horse, exhausted my resources, started immediately doing deals again very creatively. It forces you to get extra creative when you don't have any money or credit at your disposal. Started flipping, wholesaling, and now I'm home free again, totally financially independent from real estate, all with single families, changed some things, adopted some new stuff. I'm a lot more careful with how I do things. And now I get to show people how to do it, because that story is an excuse crusher. I started once from zero when I was in my late teens, early 20s, and I came up again from not only from scratch, but from a deficit, from Chapter 7 bankruptcy. So whoever's listening that may be doubting that you can do this business, I am personal proof. Like, there's no hurdle too big to overcome. Now I teach people how to do this as well. So it's a beautiful road, and I'm thankful for the bad more than the good, because I've learned a lot more from the bankruptcy than I did from any successes I've ever had in my life. So that's kind of summed up in a nutshell. You know, people want to connect with me down the line, they can find out more. But that's the summed up story, Joe.
I am obsessed with Tony Robbins as well, and yeah. Personal development, Zig Ziglar, Les Brown,
yep,
all those guys. And I know that you were listening to Tony on repeat during that time, and I can't imagine, because I haven't gone through a bankruptcy event, I can't imagine what that was like and how testing it was, but I wholeheartedly believe you in your sincerity, and that it was one of the best experiences you've come across, because as you mentioned, it packed decades of wisdom into a short period of time. Yep. I think the number one question I have on that story is, what are the specific things that you're doing now building your business that you didn't do before?
Yeah, good question. I took my rental properties to another extreme. I borrowed a lot, leveraged a lot. I had the ability to borrow anything I wanted. I had my net worth and my income, so I could walk in any bank and they'd play ball with me any way I wanted them to. And that was a blessing, obviously, at the time. Curse looking back, right? Because I could have access to as much capital as I wanted, and that over-leveraged me. So I kind of swung the pendulum the other way, to the point where I don't have mortgages. When I pick up rental properties, they are free and clear, okay? Or super short, like 3 or 5 year amortizations, which make things extremely safe. They weather any economic storm. When you have free and clear single families, the property values could collapse to zero temporarily. You're making money every month, right? The interest rates could skyrocket to 18%. You're making money every month, right? And that's only one facet. I call it a triad of investing. I wholesale properties, I rehab and sell properties, and then I use those profits to pay cash for single families. And that's pretty much my triad of real estate, single family, entrepreneurship that I didn't have a focus on prior, because again, the money was so free at the bank. It was just boom, 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 walk in, shake the president's hand. Nick, here's your money. Here's my checkbook. Take it wherever you need to go, which again was a blessing and a curse. So now I have a very specific strategy. All single families, 3 methods to involve myself with them, and mortgage free on the rentals. I'm safe. I am economic recession proof.
3 and 4 year amortizations if you don't pay for cash. Where are you getting that type of financing?
Local banks. Or a lot of times I'll here's an example. I do a lot of seller financing. I did a deal where it got a little creative. I wanted to pay the guy $15,000 for this single family. He stood firm on $20,000. Stood firm. I mean, as much as I didn't want to give the guy $20,000, he just, it was what it was. So I said, okay, I'll give you $8,000 down, and then I'm going to pay you one payment of $4,000 for the next 3 years, once a year. Okay. That's one method, but mostly seller financing. And again, I haven't done a lot of them because I mainly focus on free and clear, but local banks will easily do that for you if you have enough down payment.
So, Nick, what is your best real estate investing advice ever?
Single family homes, period. They're you need to focus on single families. And you need to flip them, rehab and sell them. You need to wholesale them, and you need to pay cash for them as rentals. And you are set up immediately for nice income currently and for the long-term wealth-wise. You win both ways. Single family real estate. You're going to ask me why, right?
I am, because I started out in single family and then I went to multifamily. So I've got a perspective on it too, and I'm looking forward to talking to you about that. So first, tell us why.
Okay, single families. And I've dabbled in larger size buildings as well, mixed use, commercial, all that. Single families. So where do we start? Let's start with the rental part of my triad. The rental, there's no common areas. You don't have to worry about keeping up common areas, vacuuming hallways, changing, paying for utilities in common areas, plowing, driveways, plowing parking lots, paying for things, paying for waste management, things like that. Tenants don't fight. You have to pay certain utilities. Okay, when you rent a single family home, they pay all utilities. They never move. I have zero turnover with single families now and back when I had them years ago too. Nobody moves. They stay there forever. You have the upper hand. See, when I do business, I want to make sure I have the upper hand in a tenant-landlord relationship. And when I have a single family, that's the gold everybody wants to live in. They all want single families. So I'm in the driver's seat. I'm extremely picky with my tenants, and they're scared to call me and bother me because they know there's a line around the block for people that are going to take their place. So they never move out. They're super liquid. You know, 10, 20-unit buildings, yeah, you can sell them. But it might take a year or two, and you got to find the right guy, and he's going to be some savvy, sharky investor that's going to, you know, make sure to get his best possible price. I can sell these to my tenants. I sell them to owner occupants. They're so liquid. You can peddle them whenever you want if you're short on cash. I mean, the list goes on, but I'm obsessed with single families. You have options with them. I can wholesale them, and you can do this with bigger stuff too, but it's the easiest. You can quickly wholesale them. You can to other investors. You can decide to rehab it and sell it. And or you can say, screw it, I'll keep it. You know, you have so much there's just such a wide array of things you can do. The liquidity is key. No tenant issues. So across the board, I'm obsessed with them. That's all I touch.
And how do you scale that? Because I know I personally got to 4 single family homes. You've clearly gotten to many more than that during your heyday prior to 2008. And you said you were collecting, you know, $70,000 a month in rental revenue. And
yep.
I got to 4 single family homes. I was like, what the heck's going on? I'm getting way too much mail in my mailbox. It's driving me bonkers trying to keep track of all the different stuff. And I see, and this is what I was looking at, I see a better way to scale my business by buying more quote unquote homes at once and having economies of scale with a larger apartment community. So help me understand, what's a good way for people to scale a single family home business? Because if they are buying the homes, then it's going to take a lot of homes to reach lofty financial goals from a monthly passive income standpoint. And by a lot, I know that's relative depending on how you define a lot, but let's just say $10,000 to $20,000 a month passive income.
Yeah, no, scaling's easy. Buy more of them. And the other thing too I want to mention is you're more likely to find a very deeply discounted single family, you know, than larger stuff with my experience. I mean, these are just mom and pop homeowners who maybe inherited the property, they're going through a divorce, who want to spit this thing out for peanuts a lot of the time, okay? So there's a lot more, you know, from my personal experience, I've gained a lot more instant equity. And again, banks lend on them. I mean, it's just buy more of them. I mean, I use QuickBooks for my property management, which makes things a breeze. But my single families run more on autopilot than any larger unit or complex ever did. I mean, it's extreme autopilot. And again, people never move. I don't show units. I never show units. I don't walk around showing new people new units and giving back security deposits. It's all autopilot, permanent autopilot. It's an unbelievable system. So you just buy more. Once you have one on autopilot, you can scale up immediately, and you almost don't have to think about these properties if you run your regime right. You can't be a slumlord, you can't be a hack. You have to do things the right way and manage things the right way. But once you have your system in place, you know, you just keep moving forward and buying more. It's very scalable actually.
Let's get very specific on the scaling thing, because you mentioned one tactic, but I'd love if you have other tactics as well to share those, because from a scaling standpoint, yes, you buy more, but when you buy more, you have more stuff to oversee from a tax standpoint, from insurance, from, you know, if you're hiring out a property management company, then that's easier. If you're doing management yourself, then that's a little more difficult. So you use QuickBooks as one thing to automate the process. What are some other ways that you scale your business whenever you're buying more and more homes that automates the process?
Well, first of all, I never hire outside management companies. I don't personally believe in it. And again, I'm not knocking it. A lot of people can do it. No one takes care of your properties like you do. So anytime I'm either personally managing or I have in-house people or personnel that I trained to help me with management. I've never, ever touched a third-party management company. The people that I know who have all called it a nightmare. But again, it may work for some people. But so that's step one. When I personally am involved, setting these things up on autopilot is it just a breeze, because I have, you know, I know it really well, and I've been doing it so long now, and I have the experience of getting it done. So again, scaling to me is so simple, because you get in, you do everything correctly. You know, you fix it the right way. You bring in the tenant the right way. You're done. So you're just wide open. The whole market is fresh for you again, because you have something nice under your belt that's going to pay you every month that you don't have to oversee. So insurance, you know, you pay $500 to $700 a year. You know, yes, you write a few more checks on a monthly basis, but I don't think that limits scalability. You know, that's the way I look at it. I guess I haven't seen scaling as a problem at all. I see it, you know, as a complete opportunity, because, you know, writing a few more checks every month. And again, if you set up a single family the right way, it's extremely, extremely, it's an autopilot scenario.
You ready for the best ever lightning round?
Yes, sir.
Best ever book you've read?
Mastery, Robert Greene. And I might have more, but that's, I just chose one.
I read his book,
48 Laws.
What'd you just say?
48 Laws of Power.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
phenomenal. One of the most influential books I've ever read in my entire life.
That's top for me too. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. If any listener, if you haven't read the 48 Laws of Power, just a fantastic book. It talks about, from a historical standpoint, how to create power and how people in the past have followed these laws that the author has identified to create power, and have gone against the laws, and the results of them you know, going against the laws. And I imagine any book of his, because I've also started reading The Art of Seduction by Robert Greene, the same author.
Yeah.
And that's interesting. A little bit more fluffy than the 48 Laws of Power. So I'll check out Mastery too.
And read all his books. I mean, he's like one of my favorite authors. And I would say he has got a personal development style, but a completely different approach to it. And you know what I'm saying. He infiltrates history. And his writing style is very unique. There's not a lot of people that write like him. And he hits home in a very direct way with his writing. So yes, he's an amazing author.
Yes, he does. He jars you with how candid and how bold he is with what he says. Love that.
Yep.
Best ever personal growth experience and what you've learned from it. We might have already talked about it.
We sure did. Bankruptcy. Chapter 7 bankruptcy. Absolutely the best experience of my life, because, again, it basically brought me years and years of wisdom and things I never would have learned. And it packed them all into a short period of time, and I'm extremely thankful for it. As crazy as it sounds, it had to happen, and I'm a much better person and entrepreneur because of that experience, hands down.
Best ever success habit you practice?
I am obsessive about when I meet new people, making sure they feel really good and just really get them to smile. You know, that's really, to me, that pays me back in volumes. It's just when I meet someone new, I really try to learn a little bit about them, because everyone has something to offer, and I make sure I find out their unique proposition within themselves, because it makes them feel good and I get to learn something. So I'm pretty obsessive about that.
Best ever deal you've done?
Yes. When I first was in the business, a guy was asking $59,000 for a property. He needed a lot of work. And I'm going to give you a beautiful, probably one of the best no money down deals I've ever heard of, not just in my life, but period. He was asking $59,000 for a property. Older guy, need a lot of work. It's been vacant for years. I said, I'll give you $62,000. But I said, I want a land contract with no money down and no payments for 1 year at 0% interest when they do start a year from now. Which, doesn't that sound outrageous? I mean, right?
Well, yeah.
So it depends,
actually.
Yeah. I mean, the bottom line is he took it. He took that offer. So I walked into a property with nothing down, no payments for 1 year, and 0% interest when the payments do start. So I get in there. I go to a bank and open up a $35,000 line of credit against the property. Okay. And back in these days, early 2000s, like 2001 or 2002, that was easier to do than it is now. But I opened up a line of credit, nothing out of my pocket. rehabbed the entire property with that line of credit and then sold it for $129 or something like that, before the year was up. So I bought it, opened my checkbook zero to buy it or rehab it, and sold it for a nice profit before I made a single payment on the property. I mean, have I made bigger profit deals and all that? Yeah. But this is as far as the most unique, I would say, kind of quote unquote best ever, like you're talking about. That was probably my favorite style deal I've ever done.
Best ever quote.
When the winds change, adjust your sails. You can still get to your destination, you know, but you have to adjust your sails to get there. You can't control the winds, but you can control your sails. And I didn't realize that. I mean, I knew it was a great quote, but I personally lived through these this type of quote multiple times, so it really hits home for me.
Jim Rohn.
Yeah, exactly. He's That's who it is. Yeah. Yep, yeah.
Yep. What's the biggest mistake you've made in real estate?
Looking back, yes, it was a mistake. I was way over leveraged. I borrowed way more than I should have. It paved the road for where I am now. So I'm not going to look back and say I regret it. But, you know, for those listening, over leveraging yourself in any economic environment, I don't care if property values are continuing to skyrocket, all bubbles burst. So you don't want to get caught on the tail end of that bubble. Yes, you could get lucky, leverage, and the markets skyrocket to cover that. But again, that bubble did burst because I got away with it for a long time. But when things collapsed, I was caught. Warren Buffett said something to the effect of you always know who's been swimming naked when the tides come in, you know, which kind of relates to what we're talking about here. You know, so when in a hot market, you can throw darts at a board. Anybody can make money, but be savvy and you can weather any storm. That's the key.
What's the best ever place to reach you, Nick?
Go to alphahomeflipping.com. Check me out there. I blog about my journey and strategies. I do have a book called Flip that is on Amazon here currently now. It goes over my story in detail, teaches people how to do their first single family deal with little to no money, step-by-step, hand-holding style. That is available on Amazon. So those are the two best places to really get me through my book, Flip, or on alphahomeflipping.com. Come check me out.
Well, thank you so much, Nick, for sharing your story and your advice and what you've learned from the experience. And as you said, I mean, it really does pack decades of wisdom into a short period of time. And I personally am very grateful that you were able to join us today and share these decades of wisdom that you learned in a short amount of time, because you have been through a lifetime of stuff from a professional standpoint, and it's you know, it's impressive for how you psychologically pulled through and excelled at this point. And I'm very grateful that you joined us, and I appreciate the time.
I appreciate your time, Joe, and I really appreciate you having me on to share this with the best ever listeners.
All right. Thank you, sir. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Hey, you, best ever listener. Do you want more? Then head to joefairless.com, where there are tons of free videos, templates, and content to help you get deals done. And if you want Joe to personally help you reach your goals, then go to the Work with Joe tab on joefairless.com and apply to, well, Work with Joe.